I'm Katie from Sour Cactus.
My name is KJ, and I run the shop Soulful Stitchery.
Hi, I'm Philomena Silva from Philomena's Mendy.
My name is Anne from Modestly.
Hello, this is Nancy Hoskins from Distinctive Decors.
Hi, I'm Bobby.
And I'm Tess, and this is the Etsy Success Podcast.
We're part of the seller content team here at Etsy, broadcasting from Etsy's headquarters in Brooklyn. The Etsy Success Podcast is your source for tips on improving your shop and for inspiration from your fellow sellers. Our goal is to empower, inspire, and motivate you to be the entrepreneur you want to be.
This podcast is brought to you by Etsy, where millions of people around the world connect to make, sell, and buy unique goods. Follow your passion and start your Etsy business today.
So today's topic is photography. I know this is a big concern for sellers because it turns out that photography is a really vital skill to selling online. We've actually seen in buyer surveys at Etsy that shoppers have said the photos are the number one thing that they look at when they're deciding whether or not to buy something.
Yeah, and a lot of sellers can find it difficult just because there's so many factors to consider, like lighting, the background you're going to use, if you want to use props, and if you have a really great product, it still might be really hard to sell it if your photography isn't strong.
Yeah, I mean, think of when you're shopping online, Tess, and you see a product and you're not sure from the photo what size it is or maybe even what it is. I mean, are you going to buy that?
Probably not. And especially with clothing, because I know I buy a lot of clothes online. It's so essential to see it on a model. Like, you really want to be able to see it, what it looks like on a real person.
Yeah, you really want to see what it looks like, but at the same time, finding models can be a bit challenging, but there are ways that you can model your items yourself, and our guest today actually figured out how to do that really well.
Yeah, her name is Brandy Harper, and she runs a knitwear shop called Pearl Bee Knit. She takes beautiful photos of her hats, mittens, and shawls. She's also been teaching knitting since she was 17, which led her to start selling patterns of her creations in her shop too. She regularly sells her knitwear at craft shows, she's made over 400 sales, and she has over 9,500 followers on Instagram. And she's taught over 250 other Etsy sellers how to open their shops. So thanks for joining us today, Brandy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me, Tess.
Of course. So first off, just tell me about how you got into knitting.
Oh my goodness. I taught myself to knit when I was 15, and I was just inspired by my grandmother's work. She lived in Florida, and she would send us these blankets every year. And I just taught myself from YouTube and books from the library.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool to have that connection with your grandma. That must have been really special.
It was special. She sent us a blanket every year for each of us. And I have a huge family. It had like 5 brothers and sisters at the time.
Wow.
And every year there's a blanket that came for each of us.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. What did they look like?
They weren't anything fancy. They were 100% acrylic. But she asked for our favorite colors. So they were huge. And they were like crocheted Afghan squares that she sewed together. And at the center of them was these huge crocheted flowers.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
It was so pretty.
Wow.
So pretty.
How would you describe your shop's style?
Warm. I definitely go for colors that I absolutely love, colors I would wear. Mm-hmm. I like bright, but also muted colors. My brand is all about natural fibers and the natural lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And so I try and keep it, you know, I keep a lot of plants. I keep a lot of stones and natural fibers.
You didn't have a background in photography before you opened your shop, but then you started modeling your own knitwear when you opened. So I'm wondering why you took that approach.
So I was working as a barista at the time, and I saved up for my camera, and I bought it at Costco, and it's not fancy, but I love it. And I just started experimenting with natural light and like flat lay photography, like nothing fancy. And at first I didn't want to get in front of the camera because I have acne and I have eczema and I have bad skin. And I was like, no, I don't want to be my model. And it was just insecurity that was holding me back. And finally I said, you know what? Just bump it, just do it. And I got in front of the camera and I didn't even believe what I was seeing in the camera. I said, oh my goodness, am I doing this? And so it just really took just doing it every day to kind of get a style that felt really good to me.
That's so cool. Yeah, I feel like a lot of people really benefit from just kind of dedicating time every day to just like practicing certain things like that.
Practicing every day. I mean, I really just recommend just having just a window with bright light. Avoid direct sunlight because it'll give harsh shadows to your photography. I use a white backdrop. You can use like those cardboard things that you get from like Dwayne Reed, you know, like those little card like construction paper things that you roll up, or a small table from IKEA I bought for $8 and I use that as my backdrop. Really simple and a like natural light coming from a window, and just lay it flat and try and go directly above your photograph so that, you know, just to have it look like it's hanging on the wall, like it's laying on the floor, but you photograph it, it should look like it's hanging on the wall. That's kind of like a trick that I teach, and for my, you know, my photography workshops with my students is, you know, lay it flat, make it really neat. We just need white background and our product to really let our work shine.
Yeah. Where do you teach those workshops?
Oh my goodness. So I taught for 3 years, a course called Craft Entrepreneurship, and it was created in collaboration with Etsy. There was like 20, sometimes 20 to 25 students in each class. It was a 5-class course, and the third class was a 4-hour photography workshop.
Oh, okay.
So I did that for 3 years, and I've also done some like free workshops for my Etsy New York team, which is now called the Handmade Collective.
Yeah.
But I just kind of gave tips on what I do, and for me, it worked to have my items modeled on a body because I sell knitwear and people are going to be wearing it. They want to know, is it going to be too big? Like, where does it land on my neck? I do flat lay because I like to show detail. So a lot of times my editorial photographs where I'm modeling it are a lot further away from the camera. And then I go a lot closer up when I'm doing flat lay. Like I just lay a hat down and I can really get details on like the seams and you know, the stitches and the yarn and whatever. So I recommend doing both. If you sell products that like for a home, you can put a frame on a wall and put a chair next to that picture and a plant to kind of give context. Is really helpful to give your products context on how people are actually going to live with it in their life.
Right. You have a lot of really great imagery in your Instagram that have a little bit more props.
They do.
How do you select those, like what you're going to incorporate?
Oh, yeah. I gather things that I really love. Anything you see on my Instagram are things that I live with on a daily basis. I use a lot of stones and I just collect them from the beach or the park, and I have them in like this big jars all around my workspace in my apartment, and I'll grab those. Sometimes I use like raw food and vegetables as a part of my as a part of my imagery, and it's because I work at a food cooperative. I was a member for 8 years before I started working there full time, and it was just I like raw food. And I use a lot of tools. So I think if you're gonna use props, use the tools that go into the making of your products. Show your needle, show your paints, show your brushes, your sewing machine, like. Show customers what goes into making your product, because that is what sets you apart from the mainstream products that are being put on the market every day.
So what is your setup exactly for your self-modeled shoots?
So investing in like a sturdy tripod for me was absolutely necessary. And then I have my camera, and then I have a camera remote, and it has two pieces. It has the remote, and then it has the contraption that attaches to the top of the camera. In my living room, I have a window. I stand by the window. I put my tripod maybe 3 yards in front of me, and I zoom in as much as I can, because the more you zoom, the crisper your photographs are going to be, specifically for DSLR. And then I literally just stand in front of my camera, like with a white wall in the back, and I just clink, 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 and I just dance around in front of the camera, and I just spin. And I just try and do different things. I iron because it makes the picture look more finished.
Yeah.
So I iron everything before I get in front of the camera. Sometimes I wear a little eyeliner or lipstick, but generally I just go in with bare like skin. I'll see what it looks like, and I'll say, oh, this looks great, and I'll keep on going with it. If I feel like I need to change, I'll go change, or I'll grab a prop, or usually it's just a plant. One time I used a purple cauliflower and one of my photographs is a prop. You know, you just grab what you have that's inspiring you at the moment, and it can really make like bring your pictures up to another level.
I really love how your approach to like you're even just presenting yourself as like more of a natural look kind of just aligns with using like all natural fibers and that whole part of your brand, which is really cool. Did you learn a lot about just kind of like looking behind the lens and then taking a photo and kind of
yes framing photographs for my products, I like to shoot horizontally mm-hmm. because it allows me to get at least my torso up. So because I like to show people how my items look on a body and with a certain outfit, it's important for me to show, you know, the pants or the skirt or whatever I'm wearing, and at least a foot above my head. And so those things have worked really well for me. And cropping my photographs in that same way has created like my own style and my own look, that I have photographs that photograph from the waist up with about a foot above my head. So you have to figure out what works best for your product and your look mm-hmm. and then stick with it.
Yeah.
Because it creates consistency, it creates brand consistency, and it looks good on Instagram and also on your shop if everything pretty much looks the same, give and take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's helpful to shoot that way so that you can have the remote in your hand and it's a little hidden. You don't have to crop that out.
Yes, if you really look, you're gonna see how clever I am about hiding my camera in my pocket, behind my back, behind my head, behind a plant. Like, I get really creative with hiding it.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Since you've been your own model, you've kind of become the face of your brand in a way. So how has that helped your business?
Oh my God, it's helped tremendously.
Yeah.
It's not for everybody. Not everyone wants to be the face of their brand. I didn't want to be the face of my brand, but the reason why it was insecurity, and that was holding me back. My personal story, I didn't grow up with a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I came up from a really big family, and although my mother did an incredible job with us, we didn't have a lot. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think for me, I feel like I've come a long way from having like nothing to like making money doing what I love. Whereas that's not what you're told when you grow up. You have to like be a doctor, a lawyer, you know, you have to get yourself out of poverty, you know, that's what you're told. And then you get older and you realize, well, actually I can do exactly what I love and live a happy life and pay my bills. And so sharing like where I came from and where I plan to go was really important, and showing my face and being like, hey, this is the face of someone who made it happen for themselves and didn't have a lot of money and didn't have a lot of help, but just had like sheer will of like, I can do it and I love my work and I'm gonna freaking show it.
Yeah.
And so that has been really important for me, just being the face and showing up for myself. It's not only really easy, but also people have been able to connect with me, I think, on a deeper level. They see me and say, oh, you know, she's cool, or I like her, and I don't think I'm cool, but they might think I'm cool. That's all that matters. If people think you're cool, that's what matters when you're trying to sell your work. You don't have to believe it, man. You just put up the front and you be like, I'm cool, and people believe it, okay?
So do you feel like putting yourself out there in that way has helped your self-confidence?
Yes.
Yeah,
definitely. Oh my God. I think a part of it is getting older too. Just getting older and being like, whatever, you know, there's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
I just gotta love myself. I can't expect anyone to love me if I don't love myself. And so, and then a lot of people comment on just being like, oh, like, I love that you can like be your own model, and I wish I had that kind of confidence, and I feel like people, you inspire me to take my own photographs. Like, people feel like inspired just by me showing up for myself, and that was a struggle. So sharing my struggle and showing up has encouraged other people who may have the same kind of like doubts about showing up for their work, showing up physically and, you know, visually for their work to like do it.
Yeah. How does it feel to hear when you've inspired people in that way?
Like, oh my God. OMG. Thank you. You know, I'm incredibly humbled. I'm just like, you can do it. Aww. You know, you could do it. That's like one of my phrases. I feel like that's like a phrase that comes automatically on my phone now. You can do it. Because I say it so often, because it's true.
What advice would you give to other sellers who are thinking about being their own models?
Do it. Don't let physicality stop you. I hear all kinds of things, you know, I'm too big, I'm too small, you know, I don't have nice clothes, my hair is not this, my skin is not perfect. And I think if you really want to do it, just get in front of the camera. Don't overthink it, because it took me maybe a little under 2 years to actually get in front of the camera. Mm. And then it kind of just blew up. Try it out. Mm-hmm. And then go from there. Even if it means just maybe using the iPhone and just having like a friend just take some photographs of you and just share it. Just do it once, twice a week, whatever.
Mm-hmm. So what's the biggest thing you'd say you've learned since you launched your shop?
my definition of success is completely different from other people's definition of success. And that has evolved from the beginning. My definition of success is doing the work that I love to do at the time I want to do it, whatever that work may be. It may be selling on Etsy. It may be writing for a blog. It may be creating a podcast. It may be writing a pattern and creating a YouTube video. Whatever makes me happy, that's my definition of success. And for me, I kind of took that on. Like, for independent designers, they want to quit their day job and like run their Etsy shop full time. Like, that is success for them. For me, I applied for my day job twice. Like, I wanted to work. I wanted that job. Quitting my day job was never on the agenda for me. I like working. I've been working since I was 16. I feel really restless. I don't do well just in one place. So just having an Etsy shop was never going to satisfy me. I had an Etsy shop, but I also taught other people how to run their Etsy shop. And I developed workshops and classes for the Museum of Art and Design, and I taught there. And I was a barista, and I taught knitting. And now I'm a coordinator at the Park Slope Food Co-op while I run my Etsy shop and sell patterns. So for me, just doing what I love and making money doing it is just like my company line.
Okay, so now it's time for the lightning round, where we have asked the Etsy community to share their questions for you in the forums, and then we also got some questions on Etsy success social channels. Okay. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Cool. So Natalia from Hats and Other Stories says, I sell hand-knit hats too. I wonder how to convince people that they need to buy a winter beanie in the summer.
I don't really try and sell winter stuff to people who are living in summer months, because they're just not going to buy it. but I get sales in Australia. It's winter in Australia right now. And so a lot of my sales during the summer will either be patterns when I'm selling, because right now I'm just selling patterns, but when I'm selling patterns and knitwear, I continue to market wool, but knowing that I'm not marketing people who live in my area. I'm marketing people in other parts of the world. So having international like options for shipping is going to help you, because people are like, oh, she can ship to me, even though she lives in New York, I live in Australia, or I live here. She can ship to me.
Yeah, definitely. So on Instagram, Marina wanted to know, did you do anything specific to grow your Instagram audience, or did it happen of its own accord?
Oh, man. No, it did not happen on its own accord. I post when I am posting, because sometimes I take breaks because I need it. But when I am posting, I'm posting every day. I'm posting every day, and that makes a tremendous difference. Every single day, I've sold at least two of my patterns since I started posting every single day. And collaborating with people that I really care about, supporting other people on Instagram is instrumental to growing your Instagram audience. If you can't really expect to receive what you're not willing to give. So if you want people to like you and follow you and comment and share your posts, you got to be doing the same thing for other people.
Ira Meyer asks, what is the best way to promote knitwear on Etsy and how to stand out from the competitors?
Yeah, photography.
Yeah.
Hands down, photography. That's one of the things that I think has set at every time I reach out to someone about maybe collaborating with them, or they reach out for me about collaborating with them, they always mention my photography. You can't really rely on one source. Like, if you have your own .com, you can't rely on your .com to drive people to your shop. You have to be doing maybe different things, doing markets, posting on social media to drive people to your shop.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Brandy. We really appreciated having you.
Thank you so much for having me.
To learn more about photography, you can read Etsy's ultimate guide to product photography at etsy.me/photos.
Before we go, we'd like to leave you with Shop Talk. For each episode, we'll post in the forums and on the Etsy Success social channels, asking a new question for you to answer by calling in or emailing us a voice memo. This week, we asked you to tell us about what inspires you. Here were a few of our favorites.
Good morning, Etsy podcast. My name is Lisa, and I run Studio Rose Boutique. I get my inspiration from my best friend. She stays on top of all the trends, and in fact, the best-selling item in my shop right now was something that she suggested that I make. And she's just always on top of things. I don't pay much attention to trends, but she really does. So she inspires me every day. Thanks, Terry.
Hi, I'm Gillian from Pretty Happy Vintage, and I get my inspiration from my childhood growing up in the 60s and 70s. There were loads of really lovely books that I had as a child or read as a child, and then in much more recent years I've started looking for them online. And being able to find a few of them really inspired me to try and provide a service for other people who are looking for books or toys or games that they had loved in their childhood and had become lost over the years. So that was my starting point. And since then, I've managed to reunite many people with beloved books or toys from their childhoods, or even things their parents had had when they were young. So that's my main inspiration, and I love it.
Hi, I'm Nicole of the Paper Wildflower. Where do I get my inspiration? From the uns of the world. The unhappy, unsatisfied, the unloved, and the unwanted. People who need reminders. Daily reminders that they are wonderful. Everyone needs to be reminded. Everyone needs to hear that they are special. Everyone deserves to feel appreciated. So in my own small way, maybe I can help the uns feel like they're not alone. As a mom of three wonderful, caring young boys, it's my goal to not only help them feel wonderful, but to teach them to treat others in a kind way. If the prints I can make help inspire myself, my friends, my family, maybe they can help inspire anyone. Maybe my prints can comfort a grieving dog owner. Maybe my prints will welcome a new baby home. Or maybe they will just simply bring a smile to someone or brighten someone's day. If the prints I make can keep the uns away, then that's my inspiration.
Be sure to keep an eye on the forums and the Etsy Success social channels for ways to participate in a future podcast. That's it for this episode. Thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe so you'll be the first to know about new podcast episodes.